kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine. You have stood by me in my life.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, how bad is the junk food for your DNA? Wake Up World's going to give us lots of insights on that. Then, if you are living a healthy midlife lifestyle, you can help prevent dementia later on. I'll give you the lowdown on that. And running or power walking rejuvenates the mind and boosts stem cells. That's good news. And for older men, short telomeres can be a sign of chronic stress. What's that mean? I'll tell you. From our environmental segment today, from Dylan and Joe Murphy, we're going to talk about how the oil and gas fracking industry is poisoning the air for profit. America's most dangerous pill from Alternet, we'll tell you that. And then I'm not going to have a guest today, so I can spend that time talking about chemtrails, the consequences of toxic metals and chemical aerosols on human health. And this is by Dr. Sandra Pellegrini. So we have that. And I don't know if time permits, but if it does, lights, camera, get yourself arrested. America's being thrown in jail for filming the police. And they say you can't do that. Well, that's not true. You can do that. But I'll tell you about a woman, 80 years old. They threw her in jail for feeding some birds. You know how people sit, throw breadcrumbs? Well, how do you go to jail at 80 for throwing birds? Well, that's what America's become, a police state. Purely a fascistic nation today. Let's begin. We know that over a period of time, there is a cumulative positive or negative impact upon our DNA from what we consume. I remember there was a man who came to the institute on a regular basis to watch the work I was doing at night. And people could ask questions. Those who had never seen scientific experiments were always kind of interested in the actual processes. And a lot of this took a lot of time. And he would always give the argument that, well, as long as most of what you're doing is good, you know, we're just human. It's all right to have, you know, some comfort foods and beverages. And so one day I sat down with him and I said, all right, how old are you? And he said he was 40. I said, okay. I said, are you willing to get some blood workup done so we can see how old you are biologically? And, all right. And we got some blood workup done, and it showed that he had massive damage in his body that he was not aware of because no symptoms had manifested yet. I said, let me explain this. Could you imagine if your skin was transparent so that every time you ate or drank or smoked anything, immediately what was going to happen, you would see it. You would see a million dead liver cells or kidney cells or heart cells or brain cells. Would you then be inclined to use the argument, well, moderation in all things, but if something is toxic, it's still toxic. Even at low doses, it'll just take a little longer before you see the consequences. I don't know if it impacted him or not, but what we now know is that it doesn't take a lifetime to destroy a cell or a body. There's new science showing it happens real quick. And that's why I wanted to take a little bit longer today, almost like classroom on the air, to share about junk food. Because everywhere you look, it seems like the only thing Americans are focused on is junk food. Now, according to Wake Up World, if we all dropped dead after eating junk food, the message would have been loud and clear. I've said it many times on this show. If you smoked one cigarette and got lung cancer, drank one glass of alcohol and got sclerosis of the liver, had one hamburger and had a heart attack, well, we would never do it. But this is one of the things we probably have to learn the hard way. Many people these days struggle through a long time of sickness, and they have a chronic low immune system. They're loaded with toxins, and they end up with metabolic imbalances. In the Aboriginal tribes, on the other hand, the elderly leave their community and go out alone to die in the wilderness when they feel it's time to go. And yet, it's a lot longer for them to know when it's time to go than in our society. Recently, I saw a film where in South America, there was a native tribe where the lead hunter, who was climbing up trees, high trees, way up, no ropes, just climbing them, was 72 years old. Wow. He had the body of an 18-year-old. So it's relative. And just like that, these people who know it's time, they die. Peaceful, simple, proud, decent, in perfect harmony with nature. Most modern civilized people refuse to make and acknowledge any connection between the food and beverages they eat, the air they breathe, the water they drink, their lifestyle, their attitude, their belief systems, and how they end up living a shorter or longer life. But here's the simple reality of it. When you store enough toxins to build up cancer in your body, the first thought that comes to mind is, I have to kill it. Not the food that you ate, not the lifestyle, not the terrible, stupid relationships you had, which you should never have gotten into, and got in for the wrong reasons. It was great sex. What can I tell you? Well, now you're saying, well, it was great sex for about a day, and it was an unhappy relationship thereafter. Oh, but I was financially insecure, and that person was, yeah, I know. And everybody had something that gave them the wrong reasons for most relationships, because about 95% of all relationships fail. Kudos to those 5% that succeed in it for the right reason. But we never look at that as wanting to stop that, or cause of our disease, or being in a job that was not meant to be ours, or living in an environment that we shouldn't have lived in, or being in a career that we mastered that doesn't honor our lives. So that we don't think about when we're told we have cancer. As you see, the focus is mainly to kill something external, a disease that fell on its head and ended up in us. And we are now here, using our medicines. This mentality allows it to easily find excuses that validate our eating behavior, with no regard to the massive negative effects the junk food industry has on the human race. And processed toxic food can come in many forms and sizes, from packaged dinners, cardboard cereal boxes, factory-raised meat, pasteurized conventional dairy, GMO food, to candy and even eating unsprouted, unsoaked, unfermented grains. Some of us have awakened and are now understanding these connections. But have you ever asked, how bad, really, is it to eat junk food? Well, let's make this just very straightforward. It all is impacting your DNA. Let's go through it by the numbers. The connection between food and altered genes, what we eat and what we are exposed to in our environment, directly impacts our DNA and its expression. Now, you've heard me mention many times on this program EPA, EPI, genetic factors, meaning beyond the control of the gene. They are directly and indirectly influencing the gene. And if you have good nutrients and good food and good relationships and good energy and good environment, then it expresses epigenetic positive factors upon the gene. But if you're exposed to the toxins, chemicals, pathogens, and unhappy and healthy environments, that also is expressed on the gene. Now, the genetic material of mother transmits to her baby is made up of very complex factors, but they all come down to the answers to these simple questions. What did the mom eat? What did she drink? What was her lifestyle? What were her health problems? Was she vaccinated? Was she happy with the pregnancy? This is where you go into a deeper relative understanding of what's happening. This is just one statement. Quote, epigenetic researchers study how genes react to our behavior, and they found that just about everything we eat, drink, think, breathe, and do directly or indirectly trickle down to touch the gene and affect its performance in some way. Not only does what we eat affect us down to the level of our genes, our physiques have been sculpted in part by the foods our parents and grandparents ate or did not eat generations ago. End quote. A group of scientists in Spain did a study of epigenetics and showed why twins with identical DNA might develop completely different medical problems. And this is very important because conventional medicine wants us to believe that many diseases are out of our control. The beautiful and healthy people are just a matter of luck and genetic chance. The study showed that, quote, if one twin smokes, drinks, and eats nothing but junk food while the other takes care of her body, the two sets of DNA are getting entirely different chemical lessons. One is getting a balanced education when the other is getting schooled in the dirty secrets of chemical chaos. End quote. So genes actually make very intelligent decisions guided in part by the chemical information in the food we eat. Food is the primary way we interact with our environment, and it can and does alter genetic information in the space of a single generation. Researchers have become, finally, to accept the DNA has been programmed at some point in the past by epigenetic markers that can turn certain DNA portions on or off in response to energy waves or energy exchanges. If, for example, there is not enough calcium and vitamin D in the body, the genes remain dormant, turned off, unless bone is built into the body, until the specific nutrients are again available. A forgetful, dormant, turned-off gene can be retrained to function normally under the right environment. The literature is full of evidence and discoveries that link skeletal modifications over time to dietary changes. Narrow face, small jaw, crooked teeth, thin lips, thin bones, flattened features can be all observed in modern generations and disproportionately disables the body's ability to function properly. It is estimated that 49% of the general population has an under-methylation gene defect. They cannot detoxify very well. Quote, more than any other molecule, methyl groups are involved in the healthy function of the body's life processes, and more than any other molecule, the lack of methyl groups for methylation is involved in chronic degenerative diseases, autoimmune concerns, hormonal processes, neurotransmitter balances, end quote. The onslaught of cellular damage has only increased in the past 10, 20 years. The toxic environment damages cellular function deep within the cell's epigenetics. For example, I mentioned yesterday there is no such thing as safe X-rays. And non-ionizing radiation from cell phones, airport scanners, computers, all radiation damages DNA. Genetically modified food damages DNA. Roundup Ready damages DNA. Toxins are being incorporated into infants' DNA around the world. So poor nutrition, along with stress, free radical damage, lack of B12 and folic acid, and exposure to environmental toxins can all damage methyl groups. And methyl groups also decline with the aging process. Our bodies cannot function properly without methylation. And there's a billion methylation processes every minute of our lives. Methyl groups keep every cell doing its correct job for the good of the whole according to the body's innate intelligence. They unlock the resistance to healing by supporting the cells with nutrition required for them to heal themselves. All genuine healing is within the cell. The body uses millions of methyl groups to turn on the stress response according to the laws of nature. But if a person does not have sufficient methyl groups, that person won't be able to turn off the stress process anymore. So they stay in chronic stress mode. In a cellular methylation process called DMA methylation, methyl groups attach to chromosomes and deactivate certain gene sequences so we don't express them. This includes deactivating disease processes in viral genes and other deleterious elements that may be introduced into a person's genetics. Methylation helps convert dangerous molecules to ones that the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys can eliminate. Our ancestors chose their foods in terms of good soil, healthy animals, freshly picked produce. It was not the cheapest, the fastest, or the most convenient. And this was the reason they kept themselves healthy and thriving, providing they had a safe environment and sustainable food. Not the case today. A surprising conclusion was drawn in a study published in the British Journal of Nutrition regarding conventional chicken feeding versus organically fed chickens. It seems that organically fed chickens developed a different process of gene expression in their small intestines than those of chickens which get conventional feed. Quote, "The result is that the genes responsible for creating cholesterol have a higher expression in organically fed chickens, yet these birds do not have elevated blood cholesterol levels. Researchers were surprised to discover that simple differences in cultivation methods can have such a drastic outcome in how chickens process their food and express it in their genes." End quote. So, the takeaway message is this. When we care enough to stop before we do something, say something, express something, eat something, drink something, and just ask, will this have a positive impact upon my DNA or a negative? You don't have to be a scientist to have common sense, and we all have intuition. But we're also all conditioned. And every day, the vast majority of people, vast, 95% of all people I've ever met, anywhere in the world, they act according to the standards, values, guidelines, and limitations of their belief system. It's as if there's a third toxic rail and they dare not go up against it. So even when something should be eaten or consumed in one fashion, we do it in a different if our culture or if our acceptance or approval is based upon doing what others do in our tribe, our guild, our clan, our sorority. So there's very little really individual thought and action. And that's one of the reasons that we are suffering so much today. Collective denial, individual denial, it makes a difference. Because everything's going to impact your DNA. And finally today, a healthy midlife diet may prevent dementia. This is from the University of Eastern Finland. And it states what should be obvious, and that is that healthy dietary choices in the middle of life can prevent dementia later in life. And the results show that those who ate the healthiest diet at the average age of 50 had a 90% lower risk of dementia in a 14-year follow-up study. So that's good news. And for older men, shorter telomeres can be a sign of chronic stress. This is from the University College London, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Quote, Professor Andrew Steptoe of the University College London and his colleagues have found that telomere length can predict how long it takes older men to recover from stressful situations. Men with shorter telomeres have longer recovery times than men with longer telomeres. This could mean that men with shorter telomeres suffer from chronic stress. I would say they got it exactly wrong. Why? Because I've been working in telomere research for a long time. Now, we know that telomeres are protective strings of DNA that cap the ends of chromosomes. And over time, cell division and oxidative attacks cause telomeres to shorten. And there's a connection between shorter telomeres and cellular aging. When telomeres reach a critical shortness, cell function is impaired and eventually cells die. So everyone in anti-aging medicine knows that links between shorter telomeres and smoking, obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, heart disease, and susceptibility to infectious diseases. But we also know, and here's the difference, that when you're chronically stressed, you're going to have shorter telomeres. And therefore, the stress is what causes the shorter telomeres. And people who are stressed all the time generally never fully recover from stress because they're not resolving their stressful issues. They may deny it, they may hide it, they may try to push it out of their mind and preoccupy themselves with some frenetic busyness or distraction, but they're terrified to open that door because if they do, they're going to walk right in the direction of what they fear. But that's exactly what we should do with everything in life. Always walk in the direction of what you fear most. Embrace it, and 95% of the time you'll find it wasn't real. It just wasn't real. Our jealousies, our insecurities, and the choices we make, they're not real. What's real is today, now, and where you choose to put your energy. But if you continue to put your energy now, today, where you've had it historically, nothing's going to change. And hence, you're going to continue to be insecure, and insecure people tend to be more stressed, overreacting, whether they are extroverted in their overreaction or introverted and suffer in silence is irrelevant. They're turning on their stress hormones all the time. Every time you talk to them, you'll find them complaining about something. No one should, tolerate allowing someone to take up your time and energy with the negative energy that they're sharing, especially if they're not going to change based upon the advice you give them. That's just using someone. But do you understand they're ultimately the victim of their own toxic disposition? And they always act self-righteous in their anger, their negativity, and their toxic energy. You've all seen these people. You've all been around them. And you know how you feel when you're around them. Now imagine how they feel being around themselves. They're envious of anyone who's successful. They're angry at anyone who's truly happy. They're jealous of any positive relationships. They're absolutely are incapable of being emotionally balanced where they see something that is sustainable in a positive way. So they're always in the put-down mode. These are the gossip queens of the world. Well, I guess this is their karma because they're going to have shorter telomeres. And that's due to their chronic stress. And so they're not going to live as long a life. That's their choice. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. And now for our environmental segment. Quote, shortly after operations began, we started to experience extreme headaches, runny noses, sore, scratchy throats, muscle aches, and a constant feeling of fatigue. Both of our children experienced nosebleeds, and I've had dizziness, vomiting, and vertigo to the point that I couldn't stand and was taken to an emergency room. Our daughter has commented that she feels as though she has semen in her bones. In 2006, Pam and her family had a new home built on their farm. For 3 years, Pam and her family enjoyed the peace and tranquility of the countryside. However, in 2009, all that changed when a gas compressor station was built just 780 feet from her home. Within a short space of time, Pam and her family were unable to spend time outside anymore as they came down with all sorts of mysterious health problems. Then in November of 2010, Pam's son went outside and came home with blisters in his mouth and had extreme difficulty swallowing, which led to a visit to a nearby hospital. This led Pam to conduct research into emissions from compressor stations. She then contacted Calvin Tillman, mayor of Dish in Texas, where many people had experienced similar health problems. Mayor Tillman provided Pam with a list of blood and urine tests to determine levels of chemical exposure. The results of the test revealed measurable levels of benzene and phenyl in her blood. Pam was determined to force the authorities to take action that would protect her family. In June 2010, she persuaded the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection to carry out air quality tests over 4 days on her land. The results revealed the presence of 16 chemicals, including benzene, which are all known carcinogens. In November 2010, Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection released a final report into air pollution in the area where Pam, Judy, and her family live. The report stated that the department, quote, could find no emission levels that would constitute a concern to the health of residents living near Marcellus operation, end quote. Sadly, the experience of Pam's family is becoming all too familiar to ordinary people all over America who are being poisoned by toxic chemicals being released by the fracking industry. The Environmental Protection Agency released a damning report in February 2013, which admitted that there is no systemic air quality monitoring of the emissions from the fracking industry, which emits, quote, large amounts of harmful pollutants that impact air quality on local, regional, and global levels, end quote. The report further noted how the EPA underestimates chemical pollution from oil and gas wells and did not have a, quote, comprehensive strategy for improving air emission data for the oil and gas production sector. But worse than that, why do you think that a state agency in Pennsylvania or anywhere else would dismiss all of the hundreds or thousands of complaints and medical visits and medical reports from the people living near these gas hydrofracking installment places? It's because of politicians. Remember, everything is top down in politics. And so whoever is the elected or appointed head of an agency will always pay attention to the politics and the money and the power. So let's take a look at politicians failing to protect the public. Well, we certainly see that in New York State and New Jersey, two of the most septic, corrupt states in American history. I mean, it's just these are just septic tanks at all levels. At a state level, the same failure to protect the public is in evidence. In some states, there's open collusion between the oil and gas industry and elected officials. The situation in Pennsylvania or Texas shows how the interests of big business come first, while no action is taken to protect local people who are being poisoned. Inside Climate News has produced a series of excellent reports that chart the collusion of corrupt Texas officials who worked hand in glove with the fracking people in the oil industry to prevent regulation of toxic air emissions. In 2011, the Texas legislature approved a bill that prevented new environmental regulations from being applied in the Eagle Ford region of South Texas. Inside Climate News reports that quote, since then, more than 2,400 air emission permits have been issued in the Eagle Ford without additional safeguards that would have reduced the amounts of benzene, hydrogen sulfide, formaldehyde, and other toxic chemicals that drift into the air that 1.1 million people breathe. This should be no surprise, considering how large sections of political establishment of Texas have been bought off by the big bucks of the fracking industry. So, it's going to be that way in every state. No, it's just the oil industry. It's all going to happen. It happened in Pennsylvania, and the only reason that you haven't seen massive hydrofracking yet in New York State is because of grassroots level to bring pressure on Governor Cuomo not to approve it. But that doesn't mean that it won't happen. It just means that we have to pay a great deal of attention. From Anthony DiMaggio from Counterpunch, an article entitled Debt Servitude and the Student Loan Bubble. In 2011, the U.S. Department of Education issued its annual shame list of colleges and universities. The list was supposed to pressure schools classified as exorbitantly expensive into reducing their total cost of attendance, or at least to curb the growth in student cost. Unfortunately, the Department of Education's impact was less than impressive. Average student loan debt hit a record of nearly $30,000 per student last year and has grown well beyond the rate of inflation for decades. Now, just last month, the New York Times reported the state of education in the United States is worsening. About 12% of student loans were considered seriously delinquent, and this was not counting many of those loans in forbearance because of graduates' inability to make payments. Total student loan debt is $1.2 trillion. The problem continues to worsen as the growth in seriously delinquent loans grew by nearly 100% in just the last 3 years. And so where does that put us? It puts us where we have a large body of graduates, over 55%, who cannot find work at all, the largest number of graduates from college living back home with their parents in history. The parents took out loans or had to guarantee the loans of the students, and now the parents' homes are being foreclosed on or they're being hassled nonstop because now the colleges have, and even the government, has turned over to collection agencies the right to challenge you. They're even now going out to arrest people. We have now the return of debtors' prisons. In California, one woman who was late on her student loan payment had a 10-member SWAT team armed to the teeth. You know, SWAT people, they'll do anything they're told to do because they don't think and they don't care. We've militarized the police to the point where normal behavior is criminalized. I'll get to that in a moment. So what does it mean when we don't seem concerned when a SWAT team breaks in your door, arms drawn because you were late on a payment? And the government is into the business of making money off student loans big time. $4 or $5 billion they'll make this year. So what are the solutions? They're really simple. Why aren't we using these simple solutions? Because it's too profitable, both for the government and for the government's completely corrupt banks. All of the major banks are criminal offenders constantly. You name me the bank, and I'll show you how many lawsuits they have against them, how much money they have defrauded the public, and yet they're the ones who get more money. But if you're a student, sorry, no breaks. How did that happen? Well, you weren't paying attention, the lobbyist for the banking industry made it impossible based upon you to get out of debt through a bankruptcy, not of student loans. They won't go away. Well, how'd that happen? Well, because the pimps in Washington, and they're called legislators, all of them, I make no exceptions. I don't support a single politician in Washington because they're willing to take money from special interest groups. And when you take money from special interest groups, they expect favors. ALEC does it with your state legislatures and has for 40 years, passing over 22,000 laws that you and I never knew that they were whining and dining our legislators, and how many of those legislators later went to work in some capacity with those very companies that were whined and dined. We were never told that these laws that benefited these corporations, these 300 corporations, were done in private, or we wouldn't have tolerated it. The same thing is done every second of the day in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. to me is just one gigantic septic tank that's overflowing. That's all it is. And I make no exceptions. The bureaucracies are corrupt. The whole system is corrupt at every level. And yet, I can show you the scholarship to prove it. Every single agency. And yet we fear our own government. And rightly so. You better. This is from John Whitehead, Op-Ed News. Quote, Robin Spiernons now finds herself threatened with eviction from her own Florida home for daring to live off the grid. Independent of city utilities such as water and electricity, city officials insist the Cape Coral residents' chosen way of life, quote, violates international property maintenance code and city ordinances. Mary Musumlem, also a Florida resident, is being held in jail without bond for feeding animals. The 81-year-old Musselman was arrested after officers discovered her leaving bread out for birds. Brandy Burning of Florida was forced to spend a night in jail after recording her conversation with an officer who pulled her over for a routine traffic stop. It's on the rise. Americans are being penalized for living off the grid, feeding birds, holding Bible studies in their backyard, growing vegetables in their front yard, collecting rainwater, and filming the police. Consider the irony. The government insists it can carry out all forms of secret surveillance on us, listening to our phone calls, reading our emails, text messages, photographs, tracking our every movement, photographing our license plates, even entering our biometric information in the DNA databases. That is considered okay. George Thompson of Boston was arrested after he used his cell phone to record a police officer who was out of control. University of Texas college student was arrested after recording a police speed trap with her cell phone. Kansas teen was arrested after filming a patrol car speeding and failing to use a turn signal. Leon was filming a police standoff, his cell phone in one hand and his dog's leash in the other, when three officers approached him, and so he put his dog into the car. As the LA Times report quoted, as officers cuffed him, the dog escaped through an open window. Of course, the police had no choice. They had to kill the dog, which they did promptly. But fortunately, someone actually filmed it, and it went viral, prompting a public outcry and drawing protesters to police department headquarters. One man was filming as a policeman came over to him and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm allowed to do this." Man says, "You have no rights." Man says, "I have rights." He says, "You have no rights," police officer said. "Sorry, you do have rights. Don't be intimidated. Stand up to corruption." So that's what's happening now. If Americans don't stand up, then don't complain when all of your rights are gone. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment. We're going to have our talk back segment in about 10 minutes. I'm going to do chemtrails next, and then your opportunity to call in and share your comments and points of view. Our call-in number is 888-874-4888. Let me mention that we had such a successful Sunday afternoon introducing a new chef to New York. She is from Senegal, and she is preparing samples of traditional African foods from other countries. And she'll be joined by another African who's, and what I'm trying to do is help people who are unemployed so that they can kickstart a career for themselves, giving them an opportunity. So I donated the food and the environment, and they're talking about all the seasonings and spices and gourds and the way dishes are prepared, and now they have, you know, some interest, and I'm happy about that. Going to do it again from noon to 5 this coming Sunday, 89th and Broadway on the West Corner. Come and free samples of traditional African food and talk with the chefs from Africa. Okay? Chemtrails, in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm just about to sign a contract to rent out for one night one of New York's nicest nightclubs. I'll let you know when I do. Next week, in about 4 weeks from now, we'll have a free great dance party. Looking forward to that. This is from Dr. Perlingeri. For decades, quote, we have known that heavy metals and chemicals can cause grave physical harm. Going back to Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, we have known and been amply warned of the serious consequences of using or being exposed to these poisons in our daily activities. Thousands of these are well-documented carcinogens. Building on Carson's groundbreaking research, we also know that certain kinds of chemicals can and do disrupt human and animal entire immune systems. Going back 30 years, researchers have investigated what became known as endocrine hormone-disrupting chemicals and how they were affecting frogs, who sometimes had five legs or other characteristics of aquatic animals and mammals. These animals were the proverbial canaries in the coal mine. In another pioneering book, Our Stolen Future, by Dr. Theo Colburn and Diane Domanski and John Peterson Mayers, clearly demonstrates that 1+1 hormone-disrupting chemicals did not equal 2. Rather, in a nightmare of mathematical proportions, these poisons acted synergistically, and 1+1 could equal 1,600 times the original dose. We're also exposed to more than 100,000 chemicals regularly. Most of them have never been tested for human safety. So, almost nothing has been done to reduce human exposure to a myriad of hazardous chemicals. In fact, over the past decade, the different administrations, Bush and Obama, dismantled many environmental laws in existence for over 30 years to let corporations off the proverbial hook. Although this information on the dangers of hormone disruption is now more widely available on internet sites, it's still not well known by the average person who gets news mainly from mainstream media. Most of these highly toxic chemicals are invisible, and therefore we easily go out, breathe, and run, jog, bike, walk, and none of it is hitting our awareness. With a high stress level created by the deliberately orchestrated financial crisis, where millions have lost their jobs and homes, a degraded, collapsing environment, or serious health problems are not priorities, especially if very little is reported in mainstream media. This disaster scenario is part of the larger picture of what Naomi Klein writes about in her book, The Shock Doctrine. We have so many major crises, one after another, that it's hard just to keep up with one's daily routine, let alone have time to read and consider the toxicological health ramifications of massive amounts of thousands of heavy metals that are being consumed. Now, however, there's another far more insidious layer of toxicity that is not being addressed at all in any mainstream corporate-controlled media, and it's affecting our very survival. It is, however, being addressed more and more by independent researchers who have supporting evidence to back up their internet reports. For more than a decade, first the United States, then Canada's citizens have been subjected to 24/7, 365-day aerosol assaults over our heads made of a toxic brew of poisonous heavy metals, chemicals, and other dangerous ingredients. None of this was reported by the mainstream media. The U.S. Department of Defense and the military have been systematically blanketing all of our skies with what are known as chemtrails, also known as stratospheric aerosol geoengineering. These differ vastly from the usual plane contrails that evaporate rather quickly in the sky. Chemtrails do not dissipate. Rather, planes fitted with special nozzles release aerosol lines in the sky that do not evaporate. Multiple planes are deployed, flying parallel or often checkerboard patterns overhead, and soon the sky is blanketed with many grayish white lines, miles and miles long, although this is changing. At first, these lines are thin, but soon they expand and in short time merge together. Our once blue sky has vanished and has been replaced by a grayish-white toxic haze that blots out and greatly diminishes our usual sunshine. Military and commercial planes are involved in more than 60 secret operations. Last year, when I flew across the country, I saw a United Airlines jet flying below 37,000 feet, spraying a black aerosol that went for miles and miles across the sky. This clandestine program now includes aerosol spraying planes in North Africa, North America, Australia, and New Zealand. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people have called and written their public officials to get answers. Replies from U.S. and Canadian officials are not forthcoming, or if they do reply, it's always in a dismissive way. This remains an ongoing deliberate cover-up. No one is held accountable while we continue to be poisoned daily. The U.S. military has been spraying chemicals and biological weapons and open-air testing over civilian populations since the 1940s. They are called vulnerability tests. This is not a controversial statement. The military has admitted to this practice on many occasions, and there's plenty of documentation from the government to corroborate it. There's also documentation of international experimental releases of radiation on civilian populations. Unfortunately, this information tends to surface long after it could have saved lives or eased the suffering of others. Over the past decade, independent testing of chemtrails around the country has shown a dangerous, extremely poisonous brew that includes barium, nano-aluminum-coated fiberglass known as chaff, radioactive thorium, cadmium, chromium, nickel, desiccated blood, mold spores, yellow fungal myotoxins, ethylene dibromides, and polymer fibers. Barium can be compared to the toxicity of arsenic. Barium is known to adversely affect the heart. Aluminum has a history of damaging brain function. Independent research and labs continue to show off the scale levels of these poisons. A few anonymous officials have acknowledged this is ongoing in the aerosol spraying. Numerous tests have been done to verify that these poisons are off the scale in their toxicity. They are documented in our water, our soil, and our air. For more than 10 years, researcher Clifford Carnicom has been valiantly and systematically reporting on the various detrimental effects of these aerosols and what they are doing to our entire environment, as well as our blood. And various Skywatch groups have also been carefully documented and diligently reporting about these daily assaults. With all these poisons surrounding our every breath, it's not surprising to see increases in illness. And then the report goes on to talk about the different parts of the body that can be affected by this, and it's all fully documented. The full article is on our website. I'm Gary Nall. I wanted to leave some time for our talkback segment. Your turn to call in, share your comments, points of view, thoughts, insights, and questions. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And now we'll take your calls in a moment. And while the phone is starting to ring, let me mention we have our special of the week. Supremacy, the big size. This lasts over 6 months. This is the Supremacy. It's high potency. It's bioflavonoid rich. It's buffered mineral ascorbates. It's natural strawberry. It's Circle K kosher. There's no dairy, gluten in this, no yeast, no preservatives, no copper, none of the things that you would normally find in some products. And with every serving, you're getting 625 milligrams of vitamin C, and that serving size is only a quarter of a teaspoon, plus bioflavonoids. So if you took more, took like a half teaspoon, you'd be getting 1,200 milligrams. And it has the wonderful flavor in here. It's got turmeric in here and zinc, potassium, manganese in ascorbated form, magnesium in ascorbated form, selenium in ascorbated form, and it is terrific. So that's our number one vitamin C, Supremacy. It's been around for a long time, and it's on sale. Plus, here's the deal. You're going to also get today, and it's all going to be mailed out today, the very important documentary discussion I did called Life Energies, where I lay out the different types of life energies. Creative assertives, adaptive aggressive, dynamic supportives, dynamic aggressives, how they work together, how they work against each other, the high, the lows of them. This is one of those films that when you watch it, you're going to go, wow, I didn't know this before. Well, now you will. So you're getting that with your Supremacy. You're saving 60% on this deal. You're only going to pay $39.99. You heard me right, $39.99. You're saving $60. Here's what you do. Just make a phone call, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. All the money goes to support this radio station, and no other program has to raise any funds. So you're getting two things you're really going to benefit from. Of course, you should be taking Supremacy all day, but the Life Energy, watch it. It's a mind opener. Let's say hello to Jim from New Jersey. Hi, Jim.
Gary, how are you?
Doing great, thank you.
I was looking at an article, a thing on the internet about exactly what you were talking about with the chemtrails. How one of the scientists did under the microscope, they found live bacteria and stuff like. And they even insinuated that maybe in the future was a way to release like some type of plague or a sickness on the population.
I don't think that is the reason they're doing it. I believe that part of the reason is that once you create a secret program and you start funding it, it lasts forever. Every bureaucracy that we create becomes a metastasizing cancer. That's the reality. They never shrink. They never say, we did our job. We tested something. We experimented with something. We tried something. And now we no longer need to exist. They just get bigger and bigger and become more secret. And then it no longer is about saving the world or making something that helps people or benefiting us. It just becomes hundreds of millions or billions of dollars that go into the rabbit hole of these bureaucracies. That's what I believe is behind it. And I believe that everything else has not been supported. Thank you very much, John. Harvey from Berkeley, California. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Gary. Well, I'd like to talk about the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant here on the West Coast. There was a earthquake up the coast a couple days ago, 6.9 shaker, and Diablo Canyon is only built for a 7.5 magnitude earthquake. And we know that in Fukushima they had a 9-point magnitude earthquake, and the West Coast and the East Coast are all in the same ring of fire. And they're putting out the Fukushima plant has been putting out 300 tons of radioactive water into the bay, into the ocean every day. And if we have a shaker here, Diablo Canyon sits right on the ocean, and because the meltdown part there that's called the corium and the fuel rods need to be cooled, there'll be an endless amount of water entering into the California coastal waters. And at the same time, they want to build 17 desalination plants up and down the coast. And I say, before you build those desalination plants, you better close the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant, because Dr. Helen Caldicott, I wrote her letter, and she said that desalination plants cannot stop radioactivity coming through the filter there, so we'll all be drinking toxic radioactive water. So I say, close that plant now before the big one hits California.
Good idea. You're absolutely correct, Harvey. Thank you for calling in. Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Gary. I have an email here from a woman, Karen. And first, I want to just give people my email, because apparently she had a little issue getting over to me. My email is WHNN, William Harry Nancy Nancy, WHNN@AOL.com. If anyone wants to email me their comments or their questions, that's where you email me. Anyway, Karen said that about 3 weeks ago, Sunday, she and her friends were biking through the Tradewinds Park in Florida, because obviously you have a pretty strong following in Florida. She says, and we stopped to watch the National 20K Championships. And while we were there at the end of the edge of the run, she said, we saw you, and you came by, and she says, and you were really moving. She said, it was a long race, so we didn't stay to the finish. And she said, bravo to you, and how did you do?
I was one of the winners, and along with a lot of people who are great athletes. I appreciated just being there, because I haven't seen a lot of these people in a long time. It's the beginning of that's the second race, second championship race in the last couple months, and I'll be doing more building up to the World Games in about a year and 3 months now. always nice to see people out in the different parts of the country. So I thank her for saying hello. Good. Final thoughts today. I believe that we're at a point where, because of all the things that are changing, it is such an opportunity. It's a terrific opportunity for people to begin to realize that we have nothing in our existing medical industrial complex to prevent disease. So we have to do it ourselves. So taking responsibility for healthy choices is crucial. We are now at a point where we don't have to fit into some unhealthy job or unhealthy relationship or unhealthy living environment. No one holds a gun to our head. We are mobile. We can move. We can seek out positive solutions. And many people for the first time are realizing that because of the circumstances that are affecting us today, it's time to make positive change. And I'm very hopeful that a lot of baby boomers will begin now to make the changes and live the life they ideally should have been living all along. So I don't look at what we're faced with as catastrophic or devastating. Yes, we're going to have a lot of extreme conditions economically, environmentally happening, but that doesn't mean that we have to put ourselves in harm's way. We can change. And when we change the circumstances we would otherwise be susceptible to. And I think that is the direction we should be going. And that's why I remain an optimist, no matter what is happening out there. Standing up for your rights, that's at the top of the list. Calling out when there's corruption at any level, also important. And realizing we don't need monolithic governments or agencies to supervise our life. We're not four-year-olds playing in traffic. And I think that's important as well. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.